This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
The GPS for the GBLTIQ community.
Hello and welcome to Well, Well, Well with Jason and Jill from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre with you tonight. We'll be joined later by Nathan, who is a volunteer with the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, and he'll be coming on to talk to us about one of the projects that we work on, which involves peers, or so same-sex attracted men, going out to sex on-premises venues as well as going online to sex, to gay men's chat sites to engage in conversations with anyone that's interested in kind of talking about sexual health or anything related to sexuality or more. So he'll be talking to us about his experience. And of course, we'll be talking about some of the latest news with regards to HIV and other health related issues in the community. And of course, talking about events happening in and around town. Time to get into the news. And the first topic this week is the outcome of an independent review which looked at the largest HIV/AIDS conference that happens every 2 years, the International AIDS Conference, which is coordinated by the International AIDS Society. The outcome of the review essentially confirmed the concerns of many community groups that the conference is essentially neglecting populations most at risk. The review looked most particularly at the last conference, which was held in Vienna in Austria this past July, and looked at the content. So the topic areas of most of the presentations, of the keynote speakers, all of the program areas, and came to the conclusion that the program areas talking about the at-risk groups, which included men who have sex with men, transgender people, sex workers, and people who use drugs, were limited to 2.6% for MSM, 1.1% of program area for transgender people, 3% for sex workers, and 4.5% for people who use drugs. Now, this is a huge, huge difference. When you look at globally, the burden of disease is placed on those high-risk groups. So this essentially, I mean, it's an ongoing concern that's been present in these conferences for the past 6-8 years probably, and the concerns essentially helped create the group which commissioned this report, who are the MSMGF, the Global Forum for MSM and HIV. So they've actually been going through and actually having to organize pre-conferences so that there is an opportunity for international delegates to come together and talk about the important issues globally affecting affecting men who have sex with men and transgendered individuals. So, you know, the fact that we have to go and organize a pre-conference in order to be able to have some of the important issues addressed at an international conference that's meant to be, therefore, you know, the global epidemic.
It's meant to cover all bases sort of thing.
And to only see that there's 2.5% in the main conference program addressing MSM issues.
And what's interesting, I mean, the statistics that, you know, some of the statistics you mentioned in terms of those rates are pretty minimal, let's face it. But the most recent conference hosted an estimated 25,000 people. So that gives you some sort of scale of how many people are actually there. And so that lack of information about these issues that are that's being presented there, you can't help but wonder, well, if you're not directly involved in that sort of service delivery in terms of maybe MSM or some of the other issues that you just mentioned, you wonder what knowledge base those people would actually have who are attending those conferences if this stuff isn't being brought up.
Well, that's exactly it. I think it's essentially taking away the voice of professionals working with those high-risk groups at a large-scale event like this. It is one of the largest health-related conferences, or if not the largest conference
in the world.
Yep. And yet we're essentially silenced. Some of the recommendations that were put forward in the report included ensuring that there was a transparent process for abstract review and program design, the development of targeted support to authors developing abstracts focused on key populations such as MSM or men who have sex with men and transgendered individuals, and open representation of civil society on the committees responsible for developing conference programs. It should be interesting to see what happens as the next conference comes up, which will be happening in 2 years' time in Washington, D.C., and this is going to be the first time that it's being held in the U.S. for a very, very long time.
Mm.
So, you know, especially when you look at the context of the epidemic in the U.S., men who have sex with men are a huge, proportion of that epidemic. You know, when you look... When you look at the rates from the Vienna conference of program areas related to high risk groups, it's, you know, Eastern Europe has a massive issue with regards to transmission through people who use intravenous drugs. So it's not surprising that out of those four high risk groups that they're the best represented, but still 4.5% in an epidemic which is primarily in large part, due to injection drug use,
yeah,
it's still a massive concern.
It'll be interesting to see if those recommendations make it in time for the Washington, because that's next year then.
2 years, so 2012. Mostly,
20,
yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's right.
Goodness, where am I?
In 2011, Jason. They're quite significant, those recommendations, and I think they're very good. But I wonder if, I mean, maybe they won't make it in time for next year, but maybe 2014.
I would say, having been involved in the coordination of the conference back in 2006. Yes, in Toronto in 2006. Now is the time it's the perfect time for those recommendations to come out before a lot of the heavy kind of conference, the program committees start coming together. Hopefully that this will be enough to get some changes happening for the next conference. Cause as I said, it's in the US.
It's perfect timing for it and location.
You know, 2.5% in the US is not going to be sufficient.
No.
And there'll be lots of angry people.
They will.
And rightly so.
I agree.
We are joined on the line by Nathan, who is an outreach volunteer with the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Welcome, Nathan.
Good evening.
Thanks for joining us. Now, we mentioned earlier that you're a volunteer within Tex's very, very special outreach project.
Yep, that's right, I am.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you do and where you do that?
Sure, I'd love to. The outreach team go to sex on the premises venues and provide a passive outreach service for clients at those venues. We make ourselves available to talk about safe sex, about sexual health, sexually transmitted infections, and testing for sexual health. We also provide an online service as well. So there's an outreach worker available online from time to time during the week as well.
Before you go on, Nathan, can I just butt in there and ask you, just in case the listener's not aware of what a passive outreach sort of process is, can you explain what that means?
Sure. Passive outreach means that we don't go around the venue approaching people. There's no active component to that.
Right.
We sit in a certain part of the venue, obviously not an active area, so to speak, but usually a lounge area or somewhere like that, where people can approach us.
Right, okay.
You know, people are passing, we'll say hi and all that sort of stuff, but we certainly won't say, hi, would you like to talk about safe sex today?
Yeah, okay.
People can approach us when they feel comfortable.
Right.
And the way they feel comfortable.
Now, with so many gay chat sites online at the moment, what are some of the sites that the online outreach volunteers are currently working on?
Gaydar.com is one of them. I don't do online outreach myself. We can, as a volunteer, you can choose to do text on the premises venues or online.
Yep.
Or you can choose to do both. I tend to do sex on the premises venues because I like that one-on-one contact with real people. But it's often more convenient sometimes for people to do it from either their own home or from the Victoria AIDS Council offices.
Of course, I guess it gives people more options as to what they want to do.
Absolutely,
but,
yeah.
You know, you've already mentioned that you made the active choice to do your outreach in sex on premises venues.
Sure.
Now, what inspired you to make the choice to get involved with the outreach project more generally?
Well, I suppose for me, and I think this is fairly common amongst many of my outreach colleagues, is it's a sense of wanting to give back to the community and to contribute to the community. For me, I came out about 12 years ago after being married for 8 years, and I was kind of lucky, I suppose, in that I had some good supports around me. I come from a professional healthcare background, so I had a fairly good knowledge about most things sexual health. And I had good supports around me at the time. I know that that's not the case for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, certainly my experience doing the outreach is that there's a lot of people, a lot of guys out there who don't, who are very isolated living very, very closeted and very sheltered sort of lives and don't seek out the information or don't feel like they have access or don't feel like they should see to seek out information about their own health and sexual health. So for me, it's a way that I can give back to the community, I suppose, because I suppose I had a really good coming out experience and felt very supported by the community, very accepted by the community and really want to give back.
That is absolutely a tremendous reason for doing what you do, Nathan, I've got to say. But would you say, in terms of being physically present in a sex on premises venue, as obviously you have to be to do this sort of work, as opposed to maybe you can be a little bit more discreet or something, I don't know, if you're doing a similar sort of outreach but via a website. So do you have to be kind of... You can't be too shy about bumping into somebody that you see, can you, really? Or is that not a concern for... I mean, it's someone that you know, rather. Or is that not a concern?
Look, you know, no, you're absolutely right. You can't be too shy about a lot of things, really, when it comes to doing outreach work. Because, you know, the nature of the conversation tends to be fairly frank most of the time. And I suppose part of what you need to do this sort of work is to feel fairly comfortable in your own skin. And feel fairly comfortable about, you know, not only the topic of conversation, but what you're doing and about your presence there. So yeah, you're right.
Now, how do you describe your experience in the project so far?
Oh, look, it's actually been it's been really good. It's something I've really enjoyed. The training that Tex provides is exceptional. It's really, really good. And I'm saying that coming from not only a health professional background, but I have a master's degree in professional education and training. And,
wow.
And what Tex does is brilliant. It's very, very, very good. And I suppose the longer that I've worked in doing the outreach, the more that I suppose I remember the different vignettes and different things, little tips that Tex gave during that training, and it keeps coming back to me thinking, that's what Tex meant. And it was very, very good. So the training Tex provides is excellent, I've got to tell you. There's great mentorship support. You're not sort of thrown in at the deep end, so to speak. You don't have to do it on your own to start with, and there's no set period for that at all. If you feel like you need somebody there with you for the first just one or two times, that's okay. If you need more, that's all okay too. And Tex is very good at coordinating all of that. In terms of actually being there, I suppose, in a more independent role, in a sort of post-mentorship period for me, I've really enjoyed not only talking to the clients at the venues and making myself available for them, but it's good to be there for the staff as well, because sometimes they have questions. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes they're just not quite sure about something. You know, you can't really sort of assume that people, know everything, because often they don't, and often they're really not sure whether they should ask or whether they'll sound dumb by asking. But I really enjoyed working with the staff at the venues as well, because they're generally very supportive very very helpful to the outreach workers.
Now, if you've just joined us here on Joy 94.9, we are chatting to Nathan about outreach and sex on premises venues and gay chat sites. Now, Nathan, I'm just wondering, I'd imagine that being there in, I guess, as you mentioned, not the active areas of the venues, but more the social and laid-back areas, some of the conversations must, I'd imagine, be non-sexual health related as well. Do they kind of ebb and flow through different areas of sexuality or kind of the community as well?
Yeah, no, look, you're very much right. Sometimes people who come to talk to us would just like a chat, you know. They sometimes it's a loneliness thing. Sometimes there are other things other than, you know, purely sexual health topics that they'd like to talk about. And often those things, you know, are related. Whilst we're not necessarily there as a fulminant sort of counselling service as such, and we try and I suppose steer the conversation gently towards sexual health, and in particular sexual testing for sexually transmitted infections. We can certainly be there to also refer people on to whether it might be, you know, the counselling service at the Victorian AIDS Council. The resources that you provided in the packs that stay at the venues are really quite good. So if somebody has a particular question about something, or you think that, you know, there's a particular community resource that might help them, then often you've got the information there at hand. So yeah, you know, people do talk about all sorts of things, and that's part of the job, I suppose, is being able to manage, you know, that variety of conversations, steering it round, you know, to sexual health as much as is reasonable, but also, you know, being there just to listen. So
with all of that in mind, Nathan, it's a fairly big job. What kind of guys do you think, I mean, being in the role yourself, what sort of guys do you reckon would be best sort of suited to be working in outreach, whether it be online or in a sex on premises venue?
I think one thing you don't have to have, like, for me, having a professional health background is helpful, but that's certainly not required. In fact, the vast majority of the group that I did my training with weren't from a health background. There were a couple of us, but the vast majority weren't, and it's pretty much because everybody has got something to offer. I think the sort of people who would enjoy doing something like the outreach program are people who are fairly comfortable in their own skin. Mm. Who don't mind having some, you know, talking about things that, you know, people sometimes feel uncomfortable about. So you have a degree of sensitivity to people's discomfort, and a way of making people, you know, feel relaxed about talking about those things and making them feel okay. Mm. And a lot of people can do that, and it's something that I suppose you develop more and more skills in as time goes on. And as I said, the training that that TEX provides gives you lots and lots of tips for that and prepares you very well for all of that, as does the mentorship. So I think I'd recommend, you know, guys who feel very comfortable in their own skin, who'd like to give back to the community a bit, and who don't mind talking about sex and sexual health.
Now, TEX is holding an outreach training in just over a week. It starts on Saturday the 19th of March, and if you are interested, contact the lovely TEX on 9865-6700 or email outreach@vicaids.asn.au. Now, thank you so much, Nathan, for coming in and sharing your story as an outreach volunteer. And a big thank you, of course, to all the time that you've put in with the project.
No problem. It's been a pleasure.
Have
Thanks,
a great night.
Thanks, Nathan. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
There is a training coming up on the 19th and 26th of March. If you want to find out more information or arrange an interview, you can contact TEX on 9865-6700 or email outreach@vicaids.asn.au.
And you couldn't have given a more glowing
I know.
View
Cheese
of,
whiz.
Of Joy's Whiz. Joy's Whiz.
But speaking of TEX, we actually have received a couple of messages from the lovely man.
He's a bit precious, isn't he?
He was wishing us a happy 299th show, Jill.
Oh, no.
299 shows.
Dun, 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 dun.
Of course, we'll be celebrating our 300th milestone show next week.
We might have balloons.
We might have balloons.
We might. Word on the street is we might be able to stretch the budget to a couple of blow-up balloons.
Balloons sound fantastic on the radio.
They won't have helium in.
Aww.
We're going to have to blow them up ourselves, but we're going to see how we go.
Fantastic.
There's every chance.
We have mentioned this briefly, but we thought we might give it a bit more attention, and it's very exciting. But it is a bit rude as well, so just a bit of a disclaimer.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be dropping the F-bomb a couple of times. That is because Queer as Fuck are the Victorian AIDS Council's social media project, or online soap opera, is heading to the big screen.
No.
Yes.
Say more.
The screening is titled Totally Fucked, Queer as Fuck at MQFF, and it'll be a highlight of the first three seasons, and it'll be taking place on the 26th of March at Acme Cinemas. Now, this isn't just going to be a highlights reel. There'll also be an opportunity for people to have a bit of a Q&A session with the cast and crew, including Judith Lucy and Andrea Powell, which is very, very exciting, as well as writers and directors and more of the regular cast, including the likes of the actor who plays Brendan and the actor who plays Toby.
And Adam Richard and Jude and Denise Scott are also making an appearance.
Denise Scott, unfortunately, had to pull out at the last minute.
Oh, yes. Controversial.
Controversial indeed.
Oh, well, that's all right. There's still enough there to I can't say make up for her because she's one of a kind.
She
but
is
there's certainly
kind.
Some other big names.
Now, if anyone has that's listening hasn't actually had a chance to check out what we've been talking about, you can have a look at the Queer as Fuck page on Facebook, and that is facebook.com/QAFXXK. That's facebook.com/QAFXXK. And there you can have a look at the latest episode, which went live on Wednesday. From series 3, which is quite a dramatic episode where someone has to find out about Pep. So,
okay. I see. I still haven't seen the latest episode myself.
Whoops.
So,
spoiler
yeah.
alert.
Thanks.
But yes, if you want to pick up tickets for the event, you can go to the Melbourne Queer Film Festival's website, which is mqff.com.au.
Oh, so sultry.
But it should be fun because it's, as I said, it's not just a screening, but it's also a fantastic opportunity to have a laugh with the hilarious cast and also find out what it's been like working on the project.
I think it'll be a lot of fun.
It will be. So, you know, we've got close to 2,000 fans of the show on Facebook, so tickets will likely go very quickly.
Mm.
But hopefully we'll have a full house and there'll likely be little goodies for people coming as well.
I think there might be.
I think there might be as well.
And we should say as well, Jason, that just to confirm, in case there are heathens like myself listening who don't have a Facebook page, you don't have to have a Facebook page in order to watch it on Facebook.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to have a Facebook account.
Yeah.
It is fully viewable without being a member of Facebook. But as well, if you prefer not to even touch Facebook at all, you can also check it all out on YouTube. And the URL is youtube.com/queerasfxxk. It is that time of the show where we like to run through a few things happening in and around the community. And where do we begin, Jill? There's just so much happening.
Oh, look, it's hectic. It's
it
a
is.
Hectic few weeks coming
it's busy.
Up, Jason.
It's busy.
It's very, very, very busy. But I reckon, first things first, Melbourne Queer Film.
Oh, yes, indeed. Now, this kicks off on Thursday, the 17th of March, and runs until the 27th of March. This is Melbourne's 21st annual Queer Film Festival. So come along. There's some fantastic screenings going on in addition to Totally Fucked.
there
Queer
is.
One. Yeah,
it's
going to be good.
Bumper Festival. Have you had a look at the...
I have.
At the guide?
It's
phenomenal. They've got some very good documentaries. Killer for a documentary. But yeah, a huge array of... There will literally be something in there for everyone.
Some light and fluffy stuff, some heavy stuff, some short stuff, some long stuff.
Something it's good.
For everyone.
Something for everyone. Exactly.
So yeah, if you want to find out more, we mentioned the website earlier. It's MQFF. So... M for Melbourne, Q for Queer, F for Film, F for festival.com.au. It's always a great, great, great event, so be sure to get tickets for at least go to one session.
Yeah, exactly.
Go see something you wouldn't normally see.
Exactly, Jason. I like that idea. Go and see something you wouldn't normally see. Now, before, however, this weekend, actually, dun, 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 it's a big festival that's happening in a little place called Daylesford. and it's the Chill Out Festival.
That's right.
Now, much to my regret, I'm actually not going to be able to attend this year's Chill Out Festival. Yeah, I know. Less said about that, the better. But some of our co-workers are going up there for the ride, and oh, what a ride it will be. It's a fantastic few days, 3 days, long weekend. You're not doing anything. If you are, cancel your plans. Unfortunately, I can't. Get up to Daylesford and support the community in the rural setting that is the delight that Daylesford is.
Now, the theme for this year is Bollywood in the Bush.
Bollywood in the Bush.
Which should make for some very interesting performances, I'm sure, during the fair day on Sunday as well as throughout the parties.
Exactly. Yeah. I like to say if the Bush dance has a bit of a Bollywood theme, that will be interesting. I want someone to film that if it does. I can see YouTube things happening. But, yeah, go along if you haven't. And like I say, we will have a stall there. So if you see the folks at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre handing out, maybe they will be handing out freebie somethings.
You know we will.
I know we will. You know we will. Pretty much everyone else knows we will. Go up, take one, say good day, and, have fun.
Now, of course, this is running from the 11th to the 14th of March, and for more information, you can check out chilloutfestival.com.au.
Exactly.
Exactly. Now, we did have Liam Leonard from the Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria in a couple of weeks ago to talk to us about this, and it's the Private Lives 2 study. It is, I guess, it's probably one of the only research studies carried out in Australia that looks at health and well-being of all GLBT Australians. It's conducted in partnership with the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at the La Trobe University, and it aims to be the largest and most comprehensive assessment of the health of Australian GLBT communities. Now, if you haven't had a chance to go online and fill out the survey, it is an online survey, so it won't take very much of your time. Just log on to privatelivessurvey.com.au. That's private lives, plural lives, survey.com.au. Or if that's too complicated, just check out GLHV's website. That's Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria, glhv.org.au.
And we should say, Jason, if the listener actually took part in the first private lives study, this does differ from that one. They're more focusing on specific areas this time. So don't, if you're thinking, oh, I've been there, done that.
But even if you have been there, done that, it's meant to be a snapshot through the years and see what changes are happening among the community. So just like the periodic survey for same-sex attracted men at carnival, every year you're asked to fill it out.
Yeah.
Fill this one out as well.
And things change.
Exactly. Hopefully for the better.
Yeah, one can hope. One can hope, Jason. Yeah. Now, for all details of all GLBTIQQ groups in our community, the best one-stop shop is the Also Directory. Hard copies of the book are available in venues and gay-friendly shops, or you can check it out online as well. And you can do that by going to really, really simple Also, so ALSO.org.au, and you can just click on directory. There's a little link there, and that will show you all the groups and gay-friendly services and businesses in and around Melbourne that are worth checking out.
That's right. Now, we did mention earlier that next week is a milestone for Well, 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 as we will be celebrating our 300th episode of Well, Well, Well.
Yes.
Now, I know that the show has been around for quite a long time and has been reincarnated through many different names, but this is Well, Well, Well's 300th birthday.
Very exciting.
It is very exciting, and we've got some special guests coming along. David Menadue, the Vice President of Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, and long-time advocate and supporter in the HIV sector, will be joining you and Tex.
Indeed.
And we'll be talking about a range of topics, including the history of the sector and kind of where we've been, where it looks like we're headed, and where we are now.
Yeah. Past, present, and future. Yeah. It'll be a really great show. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And actually, Tex did tell me today, I think he might have told you yesterday, that we were each allowed to pick one song.
I know.
which
pressure's on
for the listener who listens every week to Well, it must be said that we do have a great deal of discussion about the music that gets chosen and who gets to choose it. So if, because Tex is producing next week's show, for him to say to both you and I, you can have one track each, I thought that was pretty big of him.
That's, I reckon we should try and have a competition.
What's the competition?
Which listener can guess whose track is whose?
Well, I think it would be pretty easy, actually, Jason.
Well, the Dusty obviously is Texas, but yeah.
Given that he likes songs from the last millennium, as he clearly says over and over again, I think it'd be a bit of a giveaway. But anyway, it'll be a great show.
It will be, and David will also be talking to us about an issue that's gotten quite a bit of attention in the media in the past couple of months about fear campaigns for HIV prevention and you know, where they fit in. What evidence there is in support of those kinds of approaches.
It's a very big topic and one that comes up over and over and over again. So if you're vaguely interested in the Grim Reaper and why we don't redo that ad over and over and over again, definitely tune in next week, because I think you might find it very interesting.
Of course, if you want any more information about the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre's services, you can check out our new fandangled website, vicaids.asn.au.
And it's been around for a while, as in the launch, but it's updated very regularly.
I think I felt it over here. But it is that time of the show, Jill, where we need to say fare thee well.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. À bientôt.
Take care, everyone. Good Bye. Night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.